The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on AM 880, WRFD, and 104.5 FM here in Columbus. But those of you listening in Tampa, I welcome you to Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM. We're simulcasting today in Columbus, Ohio, and in Tampa. This story is, I don't know whether you'll find it disturbing or not, but it's very disturbing to me. There have been several of these cases over in Great Britain. Several have started here in the States, but this is the first one that has been pursued to completion. What am I talking about? Here's the headline. Parents win settlement in wrongful birth lawsuit. They wish their daughter with Down syndrome had been aborted. Here it is. NBC News Los Angeles reports the couple wanted $80 million in damages for their daughter's so-called wrongful birth. Now, you hear often about wrongful death lawsuits, but now we are beginning to hear more and more wrongful birth lawsuits. Now, here's what happened. These parents in the Los Angeles area, and they're not named in the report, claimed in the lawsuit that the doctors failed in their duty to recognize their daughter's genetic disability, which is Down syndrome. The lawsuit began way back in 2015. It was just settled. But their 2015 lawsuit named Axminster Medical Group, Westchester Advanced Imaging Medical Group, and doctors Glenn P. Whedon and Christopher Muller and Mia J. Sanders Madati as parties. Now I'm quoting from the news item. In the court papers, the couple said they would have aborted the wife's fetus had they known she would be born with Down syndrome. They alleged their doctors did not completely perform the test showing their daughter would be born with Down. As a result, their daughter was born in 2014 with Down syndrome. The couple reached a settlement with two medical groups and three physicians. Court papers obtained this past Friday say. Now, I do not know the extent of the mental capacity of this Down syndrome daughter, because that varies. Some Down syndrome kids are very, very savvy. Others not so much. But can you imagine if this girl, born in 2014, she's now 6 years old, when this girl is, say, 14. And if she has the mental capacity, and she probably will, to understand, she's going to find out that her parents had sued because they wished they would have killed her.
Oh, Bob, that's a terrible thing to say. They just wanted to abort her.
The end result is she would not have lived. Her life would have been taken. She would not have been born. And so they went to court. Now, court, the news is not reporting what the settlement was. They wanted $80 million in damages. They wanted $80 million in damages and a wrongful birth lawsuit. We didn't want the kid to be born. And now that we have this child that's not perfect, that's not the way we wanted it, we want $80 million for the inconvenience. Can you imagine this even being thought of, contemplated 20 years ago? Can you imagine? Now here's, and folks, listen to me carefully. I don't know where you are on the life issue, the abortion issue. You know, I don't know. But now here in Ohio, we're Columbus, we're in the state capital. Every year, we have a huge Special Olympics here in Columbus, Ohio. It's at the Horseshoe, Columbus Stadium, where the Buckeyes play. It's a big deal. Thousands of people. Special Olympics. Now, why is it called Special Olympics? Because these athletes are special. And the local news media gets behind it. Corporations get behind it. And they talk about how wonderful these children are, how special they are, and we need to support them, and millions of dollars are donated to keep Special Olympics going. A large percentage of these children are Down syndrome. A large percentage of these children are Down syndrome. Now think about the gross hypocrisy here. The very same people, and by the way, in America now, 80% of preborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. 80%. Only 2 out of 10 actually make it, are actually born. 8 out of 10 are aborted, are killed. Why? Well, because they would be an inconvenience, because they're not perfect, because... You know, we would have to, you know, we would have to put up with the medical bills, and what would people say if we, you know, and all of the reasons why a parent would abort a Down syndrome baby. And the very same, listen, the very same people who would support wholeheartedly aborting a Down syndrome baby. 80%, the very same people come to Special Olympics and honor the kids that made it, that weren't aborted. And they stand around and say, aren't these kids inspirational? They are so inspiring to us. And by the way, I'm not making fun of that. I'm not making a light of it because it's true. They are special. But how do we get past the hypocrisy? If they are fortunate enough to be the 20% that are born, they're special. They're inspirational. They send a message of hope to all of us. And again, I'm not making light. What I am making light of is the gross, gross hypocrisy of it all. This girl, if she has the mental capacity to understand this lawsuit, well, honey, we didn't want you to be born. In fact, we fought hard to keep you from being born. In fact, we filed a lawsuit against the doctors who delivered you. Because, well, we just didn't want you. How are they going to explain that to this little girl? We're living in a time where you're not accepted unless you're perfect. You're not special unless you're perfect. And we have parents who want the perfect child. We have the beginning of genetics where you can choose the baby's eye color and hair color, and rather than trusting God to give us the child that we need and to give a child that some in the world would say is not normal a chance to live and be special.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Well, did you watch the national championship game last night? Actually, it was a good game. It was a good football game. Those of you in Florida, well, the team you wanted to win didn't. They weren't in it. Us here in Ohio, the team we wanted to win didn't, because we weren't in it either. The Buckeyes, we got close. We got close, but at least our former quarterback made quite a presence. Joe Burrow, what an incredible story. Quarterback Joe Burrow, Ohio boy, comes to Ohio State. He's first string, and then maybe many of you don't remember, he was injured. His hand was injured, his throwing hand, and he was out for a lot of games. Dwayne Haskins was chosen as the number one quarterback. Joe Burrow was the backup, and that would be a controversy probably till the end of Buckeye time. And Joe Burrow transfers to LSU, and the rest is incredible history. It was, at least it was close for a good part of the game. A good, hard-fought game. There were a couple of things. There were about two or three things that really stood out to me in the game. Number one, the reception that the crowd gave to the president and first lady. All right, I don't care whether you love him or hate him. He is the president. And he deserves the respect of the audience. Now, it is no secret that I was not a fan of Barack Obama. I wasn't. But I constantly pled with my audience to give him the respect that was due his office. Okay, you don't like the guy. Respect the office. The liberal left has forgotten everything about respect and honor the office, and at times it's absolutely disgraceful. The president of the United States was given the welcome that he deserved. And again, when Barack Obama went to a national championship or a game like that, and he was greeted warmly, enthusiastically by the crowd, I thought that was great. I didn't like his policies. I really didn't. But I thought, you know, this communicates a lot to the people of the world, that we are at least partially above the partisan divide. It speaks well to the world. I mean, the world knows we are deeply divided politically right now, probably more divided than we have been in many, many, many years, maybe many generations. But we come together and we honor the office of the president. That happened last night at the game, and I am thrilled. The funny thing, you know, I grew up with people saying, you know, you conservatives on the right, you're a bunch of hate mongers, and you're so divisive. Really? Did you see the pushback? Vince Vaughn, Hollywood actor Vince Vaughn, was at the game. And a picture was shown on Twitter of Vince Vaughn shaking the hand of Donald Trump. The Twitter's verse went crazy. Like, shame to see Vince Vaughn so casually sit with a known traitor, terrorist, and I won't even read the rest. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It racked up 9 million views, this picture of Vince Vaughn shaking the hand with the President of the United States. And people on the far left went absolutely crazy. Who are the hate mongers? Who are the people that are angry? I mean, we got kooks. I mean, hey, listen, we have our fair share of wackadoodles on the far right. No doubt about it. But, well, anyway. So I was impressed by that. Lauren Daigle's national anthem. I'm glad that a Christian artist was chosen to do that. I am very grateful, and she did a pretty good job. And this is totally off the topic. I just wish that contemporary Christian musicians would learn how to phrase their music. Most of you probably have no idea what in the world I'm talking about. If you have any musical background, I'm not an expert on anything, but I do have a little bit of musical training and background, just a little bit, just enough to make me dangerous. The phrasing just drives me nuts with most contemporary Christian music, contemporary musicians in general. But then there were a couple of other things. LSU won. They deserved to win. They were by far the best team. But Dabo Swinney, a lot of people absolutely hate Dabo Swinney. Well, one of their players was ejected, a targeting call. And a lot of people here in Buckeye country say, well, that's, you know, because that happened to us when the Buckeyes played Clemson. And he was targeted, and Dabo Swinney went over, put his hand on his shoulders, and told this guy. This guy was furious. I'm getting kicked out of the game. This is the national championship. Dabo Swinney put his hands on his shoulders and said, it's okay. Act like a man. Be classy. And that young man immediately calmed down because his coach was exemplifying class. And then when Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback for Clemson, threw that last interception, and it sealed their faith, their fate. After that interception, it was done, finished, it was over. National championship, national, international stage. The first time in his college experience that he lost a game. Did you know that? He'd never lost a game. Quarterback for Clemson. And he was deeply, deeply, deeply dejected. Dabo Swinney went over, put his hands on the quarterback's face, drew him near. And I have no idea what he said, but you could tell. Son, it's okay. You did your best. I'm proud of you. Hold your head high. You did your best. Absolute class. A lot of people hate Dabo Swinney because he is an outspoken follower of Christ. People think he's some kind of religious fanatic. I can say this. He played with class. He lost with class. Speaks well about his character. Evidently, not only does he talk the talk, he walks the walk. But congratulations to LSU, Joe Burrow, Coach O. They deserve to win. All right, we're going to leave football, but we'll be right back.